and welcome to the second Ratatouille commentary. It's done by the members of Pixar Planet. This is Mitch.
Hi, this is Rachel, also known on the forums as RachelCakes1985.
Hi, this is Peter, also known as QuicksnickSimmy. To synchronize this commentary with your DVD, pause the video when Luxo Jr. appears in the Pixar logo, and when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
So this is Ratatouille. It was released in 2007. It's just basically about a rat who wants to become a chef. And usually rats, you know, the kitchen environment is totally out of place for a rat, and it's just downright dangerous. So that's probably one of the intriguing... I mean, you hear the basis of the story right there, and it's intriguing already. And that's the basic premise for the film.
Yeah, this is Pixar's ninth feature film, I believe. And the original concept of it was thought up by Jonathan Cava, which was one of the animators, I believe, or artists at Pixar Animation Studios. And he said he thought up the idea when he was... in his kitchen with his wife, and he was just trying to pick up ideas, and one of the things he thought of was, what if a rat wanted to cook in the kitchen? And it's really an unusual idea, but he proposed it to the people of Pixar, and apparently they went for it, and they started to create the film, and of course it didn't go exactly as Jonathan Cava had planned for the first few years. So they brought in Brad Bird to finish directing the feature, and I think he had, what was it, like 12 months or something, or less than that, to fix the film?
Yeah, it was like a really quick turnaround period that they have had to make a film that wasn't really going anywhere and wasn't really picking up, and so they brought in the best man for the job, Brad Bird. And I suppose it's a better movie for it. So, Remy's probably the most discerning rat of all time. Probably evidenced by his slim physique. And Remy, the character, is a lot like, he's used to sort of represent, consumers today, and, the consumer who will just sort of, It doesn't really matter to them what they sort of eat or what they watch or what they do, but Remy's the sort of character who really cares about what he does and isn't just going to take whatever life throws at him, but he's going to be the one to choose and be in control of his life. And that's probably what I like about him as a character.
Yeah, I love the way they... design the personalities and characteristics of these characters, Remy in particular. One of the character designers of Pixar, his name was Greg Dykstra, I believe. He said that they modeled Remy's design based on his personality. So, for example, Remy's basic head shape is kind of like a crescent shape, and his nose is turned down because he's really, really picky about food and what exactly what he eats. So, you know, his nose is bigger, his snout is larger, so that he can be able to smell food a little better because he's so picky. But with Emil, his brother, is the exact opposite. His nose is upturned because he doesn't really care what he eats as long as it's food. So even their designs are based around their characteristics.
Yeah, Pixar does that with, that's pretty amazing because Pixar does that with every one of their characters. You can tell just by looking at Anton Ego or Gusto, what their character's going to be like, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably another one of the things that makes Pixar so great. And, yeah, you can just tell by looking at, Remy and Emil and comparing them and just know who's who.
The way that it squashes stretch in this film is actually pretty interesting. It said that the interaction with the environment is one of the things that they always struggled with in their CG programs. So when they were designing the characters to interact with different objects in the film, they had to create like a special technology that let objects collide with each other in a way that was believable. For example, with Emil, originally, when he was trying to get him to collide with an object, such as the ground, if they got him to squash into the ground, he'd just go right through it. So they'd have to make new technology so that when he collided with the ground, he'd kind of squash into it. So one of the many things they had to work with to make the film look more believable.
I think they used that technology, too, in WALL-E, when the people were being squashed up against the window when the axiom was tilting.
I think they used some of Weta's technology when they did that, I think.
If you're watching, it depends on what version of Ratatouille you're watching, but whether or not the labels or the title of the books or the posters on the wall are French or English. I've got the Canadian version of Ratatouille, so the book and most of the text is in French, and especially Gusto's Will, it's in French. So it's probably one of the movies that you should try to get in French because it sort of matches the movie. Yeah, it's really cool reading the French translation.
That's interesting, because I have the English version, so Gusto's book is completely in English, but some of the labels on the food is in French, so. I guess it just depends on the
version.
Yeah,
well, in the French version, anyone can cook is translated as tout le monde peut cuisiner or something. I'm sorry, pardon my French, so to speak, but I basically think it means the same thing anyway.
I think that that's the true interpretation of anyone can cook. When Gusto says anyone can cook, but only the fearless can be great. I don't think that later on in the movie, when Ego interprets it, that a great artist can come from anywhere. I don't think it's as accurate as what Gusto was saying right here.
I guess Gusto's the only one himself who really knows. And if you're going to go by that motto, then Gusto would be the one to take. But what I take out of that is anyone can cook. And it doesn't mean anyone can actually cook. It means that anyone can do anything. which is, yeah, I really like that message. You can do anything. And also, later on he says something like, I'll just have to wait when it comes up, but, things will come to you, come your way if you try your hardest. I really like that message too. But, I didn't realize that ego sort of got the message wrong. That's something to think about. A lot of the female characters in Ratatouille, the French female characters, are really strong characters.
Yeah, they are.
These boats always crack me up, just how they've got a whole evacuation plan, just ready. It always makes me laugh.
I know they must have had a great time thinking up how to create these boats and things.
Yeah. And the water and everything and the scenery looks so real. It looks so like you're right there in the river, and it's really beautiful.
It is. It's interesting to see how far they've improved, you know, when you compare this film to some of their earlier productions. It's neat to see how far they've come technologically.
Definitely.
Especially with the fur and everything.
They would have never been able to do this in...
No, they wouldn't have. Like back in Toy Story, you know, the way they did fur, like on... Got the dog, you know, really stiff and kind of plastic looking. And now when you look at this, completely the opposite. The fur completely interacts with the water and fire and other elements throughout the film. And it's amazing to see how far they've come throughout the years.
And the Pixar movies, the technology all builds upon one another. And if you watch the movies in chronological order, you can see the development and everything, and even the shorts in between. The shots were used as development for the film. In the voice sessions for this segment right here, when Remy's in the water, they actually made Patton Oswalt stand in a bucket, and then they poured another bucket of water over him, so he had to do the voice acting when all of this water was rushing over him.
Yeah, they actually have behind-the-scenes footage of that, and it's pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, seems like it would have been fun to do another day at the office.
Yeah.
I'm not really a rat person, but I have to say Remy is very cute.
Have you ever played with any pet rats before or owned any?
I can't say I have, but I think I've looked at mice before, but I can't say I've ever had a rat. When people usually think of rats, they think of feral rats or rats that live in the sewer. So... it's not something I would, before watching Ratatouille, that I would have thought a rat could make a good pet.
Yeah, they're actually very sweet. They're like, you know, if you can't get a dog, get a rat. They're like miniature puppy dogs or something. They're very smart, and the pet ones at least are actually very clean. So one of the things I actually like about this film is that they portrayed rats as, or at least Remy, as very clean and sweet, and not to be looked at as vermin, but... just like a regular everyday pet, and they're actually really, really good pets.
Yeah, and also because they're not as big as a cat, but they've still got personalities of their own.
Yeah, they do.
Even though they're little, but with a fish, you wouldn't get that. So,
no.
What do you guys think? Do you think, what exactly is Gusteau? Is he a figment of Remy's imagination? Or I suppose that's the only real answer, but I've heard that he could be a ghost.
I always considered him to be something of Remy's conscience. I guess he could be considered as a sprite. I think that's what Brad Bird described him as, is like a sprite or a spirit that only Remy could see, but I always perceive them as Remy's not imagination, but his conscience.
I think that Gusteau is a hallucination of Remy's that acts as his conscience, but the only reason why he would be having hallucinations is because he's been alone in the sewer for a while, and he's not alone for the rest of the film, so he doesn't it doesn't explain how Gusteau keeps on reappearing until late in the film.
And also, Remy hasn't eaten for a while, so maybe that's what triggered the hallucination. And once it's triggered, then it stays, maybe. I think Gusteau is meant to represent, is there to sort of comfort Remy. He's there trying to comfort himself, but it's come out as the form of something from his imagination because his family's not there. And also at the end of the movie, once his family's back, he doesn't need Gusteau anymore. So Gusteau has done its job, and that role is being again filled by his family and his success at the restaurant, so he doesn't need Gusteau anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Working in a kitchen actually seems pretty cool after watching this, but I think it would be too much of a high, intense, stressful job, and the odd hours, too, for me, personally.
I guess it's a fun job for the people who like to do it, though.
Yep. And if you're passionate about it, then that would override the downsides, I guess.
Yeah.
I love Linguini's character design, just his big nose. It's just so, you would never see that on a nose that big on someone in real life. And also his fro. I mean, what's with that? He's also a real awkward and gawky character that I'm pretty drawn to.
Yeah, and in that way, he's a good parallel to Remy, because Remy's really headstrong and determined to reach his goal, whereas Linguini's exactly the opposite. He's kind of, like you said, gangly and doesn't exactly know what to do in life, and it's kind of wishy-washy. So Remy relies on him to support, and vice versa. So it's a good contrast between the two characters and their personalities.
Yeah. And it's a good dynamic between them, too. I'd have to say I'm more like Linguini, though, because I'm not really driven at all. But I wish I was more like Remy. This is probably going to be one of my favourite tracks in the movie, A Real Gourmet Kitchen. Not specifically this part, but when it's sort of building up just before he's fallen through the window. That's probably one of my favourite sections. Do you guys have a favourite song out of the whole film or a track or anything?
I like Special Order. If you notice what Linguini was doing right there, there is a faucet right above the stove, and normally that wouldn't exist in a kitchen.
I think the soundtrack, my favorite track, is probably Wall Rat. I love the energy in it, and it's very... I don't know, I just love it.
Yeah, someone played that on piano on YouTube. You should try to look that up. It's really good. It makes for a really good song on piano.
It does.
Yeah, Pixar does a lot of cheats like that, like in for all of their movies. They and also in cartoons as well. They make little cheats. It's for the convenience of the story.
Yeah. What's nice about animation is that you can cheat, and you kind of have to in certain instances, but people don't really, you know, you notice it, but you don't care, because as long as the story is solid and entertaining, you don't really care about the cheats that they make. I can only imagine what I must have been like to storyboard all of this. If you guys look on some of the pots and pans around here, you can see some initials engraved to them. The initials are AG for Auguste Gousteau and RL for Renata Linguini. They're kind of hard to spot, but you can see them on some of the pots and pans, and it shows that they did have a relationship with each other.
So Renata must have worked at a restaurant or something. I guess maybe she was a chef.
I don't know, or just a very close friend of Gusteau's.
Linguini's voiced by Lou Romano, and I absolutely love his voice work. I was just throwing up there. That must smell pretty bad. And one of my favourite, just that right there with the waggling of the finger. I mean, you know exactly what's going on.
I like that too. Little things like that in the film that make it all the more believable.
I like those sparkles that come up that follow Auguste Gousteau's around. That's really cool. And also there's like a sound effect that comes up if you listen out for it.
Oh yeah, I think I might have heard that. I'll have to listen for it again next time.
I'm not sure what he's exactly putting in the soup. I think that's green onions right there. Herbs, milk, garlic.
I'm not sure. I used to know what each item was.
I do know. I think that last item's parsley, but I'm not sure. Can either of you guys cook, or are you more like Linguini, in that it's dangerous for you to be in a kitchen, or like Remy?
I'm definitely more like Linguini, but I can make simple things like oatmeal.
I'm the same. I'm just like Linguini. I can't make a thing. I tried making soup one time for my sister, and she said it tasted like slugs. It was terrible.
Was that soup from the can or soup, like, from scratch?
It was like soup in a packet. And all you do is microwave it, but I screwed it up. I didn't even know how to turn on the oven at one point.
Yeah, especially as there's only probably like 2 steps to making that sort of soup.
Yeah, I'm pretty bad at it. How about you? Do you cook at all?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty okay. I just throw in a lot of herbs and spices and then hopefully it tastes alright, and I'm actually pretty okay, but I just prefer someone else to cook for me.
But yeah.
I'm good at it. I don't have a passion for it though. I think Skinner wears that gigantic hat sort of to make up for his size.
Concerning Colette, and basically pretty much all of the characters here in Ratatouille, I like how they didn't make them picture-perfect as far as looks go. In a lot of these, in a lot of animated films these days, and in live-action films as well, they try to get actors or create characters that look pretty much impeccable. They don't have a scrap of dirt on them, and they just don't look unusual in any way, but I like how Pixar kind of took the next step forward, and they really caricatured their characters. Like Colette, for example, she's not visually pretty in Hollywood terms, but she's appealing at the same time. So I like how Pixar did that, and they didn't make all their characters look impeccable. They all have something, they all have little flaws about them in design, but it's these flaws that make them more personable.
Yeah. The thing I like about Pixar characters from, I think, The Incredibles onwards is their teeth. If you look at their teeth, like, they're a bit crooked and they're not in alignment and they're basically imperfect, but that's really one of the things I like about them. And, yeah, and also just because I have a thing about looking at people's teeth, but It's those imperfections that make them interesting. And if they were perfect like you get in some DreamWorks films, it just makes them creepy to look at. But,
It does.
You hit on a really good point.
Yeah, it's like the more perfect you look, the more impactful it is.
Yeah. Pixar Animation Studios has a pool on their site, and they threw an animator wearing white clothes, maybe even a chef's outfit, into the pool and to see how the water would make the clothes stick to the body.
Yeah, they really did their research in this film. They went to Paris for a few days and they studied the scenery and the landscapes and took notes and drew pictures of personnel and the buildings there. And like you said, they did research on the clothes. They saw they stick to the body when they're wet. I actually went to a seminar once hosted by, what was his name? It was one of the special effects people at Pixar who does things like the smoke and the fire and that type of thing in the kitchen. And they really worked really hard to make it look just perfect to the point where they even animated like with smoke in the background in the kitchens, stuff that you don't even see unless you look really closely. So they definitely did their research.
Yeah, they all went to Paris, actually, and got to dine in really expensive French restaurants. So, yeah. I mean, I guess the things you do for your job.
I always laugh at that part when Linguini tried to get his bike in the apartment. Nobody else laughed at that in the theater, but I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, I did too. That's Brad Bird on the TV there. He's doing a really funny accent. It's quite good too. I think so. If you listen, it does sound a bit like him.
That's interesting. I never considered that. Incredible Underwear always gets a great laugh from the audience.
Yeah, you can tell who the Pixar fans are when they see that.
Yeah.
The facial expressions here are really funny. On Linguini, he's got such a, like, his facial features just move so well.
Isn't Linguini wearing Hogarth's shoes from the Iron Giant?
I thought they were like Converse shoes.
I think they're actually Hogarth's shoes.
I haven't seen that one. Does it actually hurt a lot when a rat bites you?
It does.
I can really relate. I can imagine it. How.
It's funny to watch this when you're a rat owner. You can spot a lot of little things that they put in the film that you could relate to. The rats crawl around in your shirt. It really does tickle.
Yeah.
There's another cheat right here. There's a light switch right in front of Pinguini that wouldn't normally be there.
There's, behind Remy, there's a Nemo caviar. So, maybe at the beginning of Finding Nemo. I suppose that fish ate all of the eggs, so it couldn't be the same egg. But anyway, it's Nemo caviar. I still can't believe they let that line go. And in America, I think this movie still got a G rating, but in Australia got a PG rating.
Got a PG rating in Australia?
I think so. Don't quote me on that, though. That could have been The Incredibles, though.
Well, The Incredibles got a PG rating here, but I think Ratatouille got a G rating here.
Well, there is, like, the gun scene at the beginning.
There's two gun scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that Ratatouille got a G rating because of those gun scenes.
Yeah, for me, I would class it as a PG. I've heard, I think it was Michael Giacchino, this is Linguini's sort of song. It's really fun, and it's not serious at all, and so this would represent Linguini right here.
Mm.
And it's also a great song to whistle to, if you can whistle.
I wish I could whistle.
Are you sure this theme isn't for both Remy and Linguini?
It could be. I think later on, maybe, like in a minute or so, it changes to more Remy's theme. But it could be, since they're both working together. Another one of Pixar's great montages of showing development over a short period of time. They're always good at that with songs and everything. So, Mitch, Ratatouille, you're probably the biggest Ratatouille fan that I know. Why do you like Ratatouille so much?
Oh, I love it because I can really relate to Remy as a character, and I've never seen any other film, animated or live action, where I completely relate to the main character. I really can't describe it. It's kind of hard to describe, but the movie itself is like a documentary of my life, basically. Everything that's happened to Remy in the film has happened to me in some way and is happening now and probably will happen in the future. So it's really interesting the way it plays out. The first time I saw it, I was just completely taken aback and just so amazed by it because I've never seen any movie like that that was pretty much a biography in my life. So ever since I first saw it, I've always loved it.
Must have been a treat, too, to have you represented as a rat, because you own rats and everything.
Yeah, but that's what I love about it, because rats are so, what's the word? They're so misunderstood in the world, so I love the fact that they chose a rat of all characters to play upon this movie, because I kind of see myself as a rat in some way, because I'm so, I see myself as kind of aside from the crowd and unusual, but I also have these huge aspirations, you know, just like Remy does. So the very fact that Pixar picked a rat as the main character of the film is really special to me in a way.
I like the Pixar movies how everyone can identify with the characters in some way, and the themes that Pixar chooses are themes that that everyone, can relate to. I mean, everyone wishes to be successful. Everyone wants to be accepted. So that's probably why their films are so successful.
Yeah, I agree. It is probably everyone can relate to at least one Pixar character in some way because there's so many different personalities throughout all of their films. But I imagine that a lot of people relate to Remy too, especially artists, because Remy had a near impossible goal, but he achieved it despite the obstacles that he faced. And I'm sure quite a few people who wish to work at a place such as Pixar or in a professional kitchen environment or any other place like that probably feels just like Remy, and that they have high aspirations and they don't know how they're going to get there, but they're willing to persevere despite the circumstances at the same time. That's one of the things I love about this film is that, to me, it's the ultimate, or one of the ultimate examples of perseverance. That even the smallest thing in the world can do one of the most incredible things.
What are they doing to those lemons?
Oh, they're zesting them. They're rubbing the skin off of them, I think. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What dish are they doing that for?
I'm not sure, actually. They might use the skin of the lemons to decorate a dish. I'm not sure. I don't know that much about cooking.
Usually, the lemon skin has the most flavor, so they'll just usually get the skin off and maybe use the other part of the lemon in another dish, but not usually because the skin has the most flavor.
Hmm.
I like the formation of Linguini and Colette's relationship. She's a tough cookie, but she sees something. She sees that Linguini's not going to hurt her. So yeah, she's really open to him in a way.
The relationship's kind of like Wally and Eve, now that I think about it, because Eve is kind of like Colette in that she's really tough on the outside, but she has a sweet interior, even though she doesn't show it very often. And Linguini, I guess, is kind of like Wally.
There was, when the waiter was at the table, in the background, if you look, you can see Steve Jobs. He's wearing his trademark black turtleneck sweater. And I'm pretty sure it's him, so that's pretty neat to see, like, an actual person that you know in a character form, Pixar character.
I like how you can see Linguini in the background there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, eavesdropping. Sweetbread à la Gustose actually sounds pretty nice. The version that Linguini cooks looks pretty good.
Yeah, but the ingredients sure were disgusting.
Yeah. That was Gusteau's version, though. But then, I should say Remy. Remy changes it. It looks like he puts raspberries in it.
Really?
But I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so.
Concerning Remy and Linguini's toad, originally, They had Remy popping out from underneath Linguini's hat to look at the ingredients to see what was going on, but this turned out to prove a little too distracting in the film. So what they did was they made Linguini's toad slightly transparent so that Remy could see through it, and this helped them to move the story along forward a little smoother, so they didn't have to have Remy keep popping out of his hat.
It's too bad there's no such thing as smell-o-vision, because all of these ingredients would probably smell so good.
I know.
Like when she says, the customer are waiting, because that's what the French seem to do. not really. Yeah, they don't really understand the plural in English.
Yeah, Janine Garofalo did a really nice job of voicing Colette. She gave her a really nice French accent, even though this Garofalo isn't French, I don't think.
She's American, but... And she's also got a lot of that kick in her personality and her voice.
Yeah.
That matches Colette's character perfectly. And she's a pretty tough gal, too. So Remy's just in his element, cooking for people. I don't think he could be happier than right now, cooking for people and making people and enjoy his meals. Or making enjoyable meals, rather. I'd have to say that for me, Skinner's probably the most visually unattractive character. For me.
Out of all the Pixar characters, or just the ones in Ratatouille?
Yeah, probably all of them. I haven't really thought about that, though. Al looks a little bit creepy from Al's toy barn, but... Linguine is a lot like me. He just has one or half a glass of wine and then it's all over.
He held his own pretty well, though. I mean, he never revealed Remy at all, even after all that lies.
Yeah. Probably one of the funniest moments in Ratatouille. Not here, but... when Emil says, Remy! And, yeah, what is he eating? It looks like a cabbage or something. This is a really nice piece of music, but they don't have it on the original soundtrack, but I just like it. Short little cue.
Do they have it on the cast and crew CD, though? They might have it on there.
Yeah, probably. I like how August Gusto just spins away there. Always makes me laugh. Spins around. And also, them drinking wine and getting drunk is another reason why maybe they should have had a PG rating.
Yeah, probably. They didn't overdo it, though. They did it pretty tastefully, so... I guess they figured it didn't really need a PG rating since there wasn't that much... Well, there was a lot of adult humor, but it was kind of hidden, so... That's something I guess it could have garnered a PG rating, though.
Emil's such a glutton. Excellent voice work by Peter Zane.
I think they actually had him eating muffins or cake or something while he was doing voice work for this scene. Does anyone know what kind of fruit that is that Remy gives to Emil? I always thought it was pomegranate seeds or something, but I'm not sure.
Well, it must not be something with a seed, because I don't think he spit it out.
I thought it was like a little grape or something. But grapes have seeds in them, unless you get seedless ones. They should have shown more of the Rat Band, I reckon. They were pretty cool.
I know, I wish they had too.
Brad Lewis, he was the producer for the film. He came on a few days when they were recording the orchestra, and he plays trombone, so he played a few He played like a short cue on the trombone. I guess that would have been good enough to make the soundtrack, so.
That's pretty cool. In the Art of Ratatouille book, it was mentioned by Sharon Callahan, who's the director of photography, that they wanted to visually enforce the idea that the human world's more appealing to Remy. It's more seductive. So what they did is they decided the human world would be warm and the rat world would be kind of cool. So they made the human world lighter in value and they gave it more color, kind of a warmer environment. And the rat world was darker in value and a little more muted. So that there was a contrast between the two worlds.
That's cool. And it also makes the human world more appealing. And it also makes it more enjoyable for the viewer to be in the human world than in the rat world.
Yeah. Although in this particular sequence, I always thought that it was just the opposite, that, or at least kind of a both sides of the two, because in this particular sequence it is a little bit warm with the firelight glowing in the background and hitting on the characters, so I always viewed it as kind of another contrast to the two worlds, and that Remy's home, or is supposed to be in the sewer, it's warm and inviting in a way, but it's also really cool and kind of panoffish, so I guess it works both ways in that sequence. But that's how I always saw it.
Pixar actually based this store in a real store in France or in Paris, and on the front of the door they've got a sign with the Ratatouille logo saying in French or in English, I don't remember, something like see this store in Ratatouille. So they've like sort of tried to tie in a touristy sort of element to their marketing, and it's pretty cool. I'd probably pay that store a visit and look in the window, and it actually does have dead rat's head hanging in the window. So,
I think they should use stuffed animals instead of real dead rats.
You mean in the actual store window?
Yeah.
They do use stuffed animals?
Oh no, they should. Because it's kind of off-putting.
I think in France they're a lot more lenient with sort of confronting sort of things like that, but the actual rats in the window are something like 10 years old or something. I don't know how they preserve their bodies. A bit morbid.